crippling dependency and addiction, leading to broken lives and, in some instances, premature death. Vermont is no more immune than anywhere else in the country to the devastation wrought by the opioid crisis. But the continuing epidemic is prompting changes here, starting with the way doctors prescribe opioids to patients in need of pain relief. Shayla Livingston is a public health policy advisor at the Vermont Department of Health and is speaking with us today about the new guidelines on prescribing opioids. And Shayla, thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to start by asking whether the terms that I used just now in the lead are, in your view, correct. I mean, is there an epidemic and crisis associated with opioids in Vermont?
We often talk about a crisis here at the health department. This is definitely a problem that has many different roots. Prescribing is one of them. And when we think about it in terms of addressing it, it is a health crisis and something that we look at as a health problem primarily in the state of Vermont.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to do is overstate the problem, but, you know, given that Governor Shumlin, the former governor, spent his entire State of the State speech a few years back talking about the opioid crisis, it does seem that it's affecting a lot of lives here. So the Vermont Department of Health was directed by the legislature just last year to develop these new guidelines. And there are a few broad categories, the first being universal precautions for prescribing opioids. And what are those universal precautions?
Sure. So I do just want to point out that these are, in fact, rules that were required by Act 173 last year. The universal precautions section is a new section, so this is for all new prescriptions for Schedule 2, 3, and 4 controlled substances. And the idea here is to really ensure that all patients have access to the same information and that we're treating all patients the same way and equally. The first is to have the provider talk to the patient about alternatives so that opiates are not the only option on the table. The second is to make sure that the provider queries the VPMS system, that's the Vermont Prescription Monitoring System. Next one is to provide patient education and informed consent, and that has a couple different pieces. We ask that providers have a discussion of the risks with the patient, so that's an in-person discussion face-to-face, that they provide them a patient education sheet that we've developed, and then we'll have patients sign an informed consent to just agree to the risks of having these opioids and using these opioids. Like you said, the risks have not necessarily been fully understood by patients often when they are given these, especially for minor procedures, and they end up often in medicine cabinets unused or misused in the community.
And you mentioned Schedule 2, 3, 4 drugs. Are we talking about things like Vicodin, OxyContin? What are some of the names that people might recognize, the drugs that are in this category?
Yeah, definitely. So Percocet, Vicodin, OxyContin, those are some common ones. Tramadol is one that folks often don't know is a Schedule 4 substance. It was recently reclassified.
Also, this is broken down into specific recommendations for doctors prescribing opioids to patients who suffer from acute and chronic pain. And the rules, I understand, are different when it comes to prescribing drugs for acute pain as opposed to chronic pain. Could you explain the differences?
Sure. So we've had rules in place for chronic pain now for a couple of years. The acute pain guidelines are what go into effect July 1st. Those target first prescriptions for opiate-naive patients. So what does that mean? That means that the first time a provider sees a patient who has not had an opioid for the past 30 days, if it's that first prescription, then there are now rules that limit the amount that that prescriber can prescribe in that first prescription. In no way does that mean if the patient continues to experience pain after they're done with that prescription, it does not limit providers from prescribing a second prescription. The limits themselves are broken down into a number of different categories: minor, moderate, severe, and extreme pain. And then they have what we call morphine milligram equivalent limits. That's a way to measure different opioids in a similar fashion. So one OxyContin is not equal to one fentanyl, is not equal to one Percocet, et cetera. So there's different limits depending on the patient's level of pain, the length of duration that's expected for the pain. One of the big pieces here is to make sure that kids are exposed to fewer prescriptions. So anybody under the age of 18, those limits are actually lower than for adults.
And how are these rules going to be enforced?
That's a great question. So We are doing talks across the state about these rules for providers to do increased education. Different institutions are putting in place their own methods and measures so that providers know what is out there for the rules and what they have to follow. Once they go into effect, the medical practice board will be responsible to responding to any complaints. So we're not going to do what's called proactive enforcement. We're not going to go and look for these individuals. The health department does use the Vermont Prescription Monitoring System to look for any outliers. So that's a provider who maybe falls outside of what we would think would be normal. They are not going to get in trouble, quote unquote. They will just receive a notice that says, hi, it looks like you're an outlier. We'd love to help you out if you're interested in assistance or quality improvement. They're not going to see any regulatory action, but they will get outreach.
Have you heard reactions yet from the healthcare community and especially from doctors who may have concerns about whether they might be reluctant now to prescribe pain relief to certain patients who really need it for fear of violating these new rules?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So in developing these rules, one thing that sets Vermont apart from some of our other sister New England states is that these are rules and they were set by the Department of Health. They were not done through statutes. Massachusetts and Maine, there are hard cap limits that were simply set. And here we were able to really engage the provider community in the development of these rules. So we had over 20 meetings last summer with providers about the rules. So that really allowed us to hear their thoughts and concerns as well as some of their needs. I mean, there are many providers out there who really wanted these rules and want to see a decrease in prescribing. The science actually shows that when you set a new default, it doesn't do what we call a cooling off. It doesn't actually make it so that it's harder for patients to access pain medication. And that is definitely not the goal here. The goal here is to ensure that when patients need pain medication, they get the right amount for their pain. By engaging the provider community in making these rules, we're pretty confident that that will not be an issue. We will also definitely be monitoring these rules to make sure that those kinds of problems do not crop up in the next couple of years.
Sheila Livingston is a public health policy advisor at the Vermont Department of Health. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Mitch.